Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Would you please be seated? On the plane home from our recent trip to England by an accident of ticketing, Monique sat with the girls in a row with three seats, and I sat in another part of the plane, which is awesome. I got to watch movies, write, and read. I had a lot of fun until I developed a headache. The pain began in the middle of my forehead and slowly blossomed. At first, I thought I just hadn't had enough water. I drank the water I brought on the plane. I asked for more. The aching only increased. Then I thought, maybe I haven't had enough food. Breakfast came out. I ate. Nothing helped. The headache just got worse, and the throbbing tipped over into nausea, not helped by the curry-flavored breakfast item I had had. I even checked the seat back pocket just to make sure that there was a bag there. The last 45 minutes in the air lasted forever. I wanted to know, when will this plane land? And translating that into the question for our sermon today, when will God set me free? In our gospel passage this morning, we meet Jesus teaching in a synagogue on the Sabbath. As you know, in the creation story in Genesis, God created the world over the course of 6 days and rested on the seventh, on Saturday. When God rescued them from Egypt, the God who rested at creation told his people to rest on the Sabbath. They had been slaves, working 7 days a week at the end of someone else's whip. Sabbath rest asserted their freedom. God's people worshiped on this day, and during Jesus' time, they often met in a synagogue, a local meeting house where rabbis sat to teach the law. So let's imagine Jesus sitting on a chair, a group of men standing and sitting in front of him, the women and the children perhaps behind a screen. Just then, Luke says, a bound-up woman appears. She's bent over, quite unable to stand up straight. Her struggle lasted 18 long years. I imagine her as an older woman, unable to participate in life. And the gospel writer Luke wants us to know she carries no blame for it. A malignant spirit cripples her. Now, we confess that Jesus came to earth to set people free from Satan's sin and death. So what does he do for this woman in spiritual bondage? Jesus calls her over, Luke says, and sets her free. Now, in this imagined synagogue, she would have had to walk through the men from the women's place. Now, we all know it would have been easy to refuse, out of embarrassment or fear perhaps, but she doesn't refuse the call. She comes over. Jesus lays his hands on her. Luke writes, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. Jesus sets the woman free. And Jesus offers to set us free. Being free, though, if we're honest, scares us. How many of us hold on to grudges, just for example, allowing them to eat us alive inside? We hold on to them even when we know that forgiving would set us free. How many of us can't stop working, even for one day a week, even when we know that Sabbath would set us free? The list could go on and on. sometimes we get to the point where it's just easier to stay trapped. We prefer familiarity over freedom, so we go through life spiritually bent over and unable to stand up. True confessions on the airplane home. How many times did I think about hitting the call button and asking for ibuprofen? Before we had begun our descent and it was too late, many, many times. Would that have cost me anything? No, but I was so proud, I did not want to admit that I was in pain. I stupidly preferred the pain of the headache to the thought of bothering a flight attendant. And here's the thing, it's the same kind of fear that holds us back. When we hit the spiritual call button, though, we do not bother Jesus. He lived our life and died our death so that in his resurrection and ascension, he might set us free. This is what he wants to do. Jesus wants to set us free every bit as much as he wanted to set the woman free. Free from the malignant influence of the spirit of the age, our own unforgiveness, our own frenetic busyness, whatever binds us and keeps us spiritually unable to stand up straight. Jesus calls. Jesus calls you. Jesus calls you by name. He calls each one of us by name to freedom, and he offers it for free. Jesus paid the cost of our freedom. God's love is free. All we have to do is suck it up and push the call button. All we have to do is walk to the front of the synagogue where Jesus is. All we have to do is turn towards God and accept this gracious gift. And just like last week, though, this is not the end of the story. Jesus, by example, invites everyone present in that synagogue, including the leader, to set people free as well. Now the Sabbath rules comfort the synagogue leader. The Sabbath is God's holy day. God rested. The people should rest. All this is granted. And I'm sure the great exile of Judah dominates his mind. In the exile, the Babylonians forcibly removed people from the southern kingdom of Israel and kept them for decades before the new Persian Empire allowed them to come back to the promised land. The prophets told them that the exile happened in part because God's people did not keep the Sabbath. The synagogue leader grows indignant with Jesus, in part, I think, because he wants to avoid another catastrophe. He's so afraid of being punished for doing the wrong thing that he can't see his way to doing the right one. Through his actions, Jesus invites everyone in that room, including the synagogue leader, to set people free, even on God's holy day, because no observance, no consideration, no principle can trump the dignity of God's beloved children. The synagogue leader wants to preserve Israel by not doing something. Jesus wants to redeem Israel by leading Israel towards wholeness, healing, and peace. Therefore, the crowd rejoices. Jesus' opponents are put to shame. The crowd rejoices at the wonderful things Jesus does. Jesus sets them free to set others free in return. Now, people who have been set free in order to help others become free, that is what it means to be the church. Now, the work of setting people free also scares us, just like it did for the prophet Jeremiah in our first reading. If pushing the call button, the free thing, scares us, how much more should being sent to participating in setting other people free? Jeremiah the prophet objects that he does not know how to speak, that he is only a boy. Jeremiah knows on his own he can't make anything happen. This task seems too much, because accepting God's invitation to set others free will cost him. Going to our Hebrews passage, accepting Jesus' invitation to set others free costs the simple act of not refusing the one who is speaking. It costs straightening up, praising God, and offering Jesus acceptable worship with reverence and awe. In the end, it costs trusting God with our future. Because when we go to set people free, we have no idea how the synagogue rulers of the world will react. But we are the people who have been set free by Jesus, who Jesus invites to set others free in return. He does this in lots of ways. He invites us in lots of ways. Jesus invites us to speak up for people and their rights. He invites us to lend a helping hand to people when they're down and out or when they're suffering. Jesus invites us to invite people to something amazing. As Hebrews says, we're not inviting people to darkness. We're not inviting people to gloom. We're not inviting people to tempest. We get to set people free by inviting them on a journey to, as Hebrews says, Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Jesus sets us free so that we can help in setting others free. When the plane arrived in Austin, I finally asked for help. I texted Monique on the other side of the plane about the headache, and she gave me from her bag what I needed, 3 ibuprofens. And she walked with me for the next 40 minutes as I slowly, very slowly, felt better. We received our bags, we made it back to our van, and I was then able to drive as she dealt with her own headache. She set me free so that I could help my jet-lagged family get home in one piece. Friends, when Jesus offers to set you free, it feels like it costs a lot. But it doesn't. It's free. Accept that love. Accept it. Accept Jesus' willingness to set you free from whatever spirit cripples you. And then, having been loved, go this week to forgive, to rest, and in all things, to love one another. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.